Father, and that's our desire as you take us deeper into knowing you, but also the reality of Jesus, your kingdom here on earth. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done, and for the thirsty to come and begin to taste the living waters. And we thank you for your call. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your ministry. We thank you for how you're drawing again and working and awakening up, first of all, the body of Christ out of a slumber into the reality of participating in the incredible joy of being in your kingdom and knowing you. So we honor you this morning, Father, for your goodness as you lean forwards as our Heavenly Father, loved by you, children of yours. That's who we are. And we thank you today through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Good. We want to, this morning is a little bit different. There's a lot that the Holy Spirit is busy working in our lives here this morning. And let's receive what He wants to do. It was the 4th of August, this past August, the end of 7 years, when, for me personally, when God broke through and there was a shift taking place within me from a church mindset into a kingdom mindset. And that 7 years has come to an end. It was the 4th of August. And during those 7 years, there was a lot of ministry that Holy Spirit had to do in helping me to be really rooted and established in the reality of Christ, what He has done in His death and resurrection, the reality of His kingdom, and get free from any deep roots of church, of institutionalized kind of religion and things like that, and all the stuff that goes with normal institutionalized kind of organizations. And so when years back when God spoke about, when He showed me and asked me, any constitution that man makes, is it able to fill, can it really just be big enough for me? And I said, no. And He said, exactly, Jesus, He said to me, He is our constitution, and for us to grow up into His fullness. And so that's not church. That is totally different. That's children of God. That's the disciples, that's the family of God, to grow up into the fullness of Christ Jesus, to know the Father and to know His Son Jesus. And ever since then, it's been that process of, Lord, setting mind free, giving truth. And you know, from that time we started to really speak much about the kingdom, much about the cross, the centrality of the cross. And we went through that series about the atonement, redemption, and all of that, that we began to get established in the reality of what it is to be in the kingdom of God, what it is to be born again of the Holy Spirit, what it is to have a new nature, what it is to have died with Christ and now to be raised and to live in the reality of our life in Him, what it is to have a God faith and not a religious faith, what it is to really just have that childlike, simple belief, nothing added to it, nothing subtracted, it's just simple, pure belief that God is real, we know Him, and just to follow Him and be obedient to Him. So we've had to get weaned off intellectual faith, we had to get weaned off all kinds of formulas, all kinds of programs, and just simply like a little child. So all I have is Christ, death and resurrection, and who He is. Nothing more, nothing less. It's who He is. And that's the anchor of our faith. We anchored into Him, who He is, what He has done, and He's alive. I've died with Him, raised up with Him, and we just live for His glory. There's nothing more to my life. There's nothing less. That's it. And because we need to travel very light. Where are we going? And so as we have moved off from, or this past 7 years where God was working tremendously, on the 4th of August, it was a Friday morning, we were there praying, and together with our folk. And just before that, and since then, I've noticed another shift that's taken place within me. And that shift now is, I believe, the season that we've now entered into. And that shift is about not just seeing and understanding and growing in the reality of the kingdom of God, but now it's about the manifestation of His kingdom. No longer talk, but now it's a reality of His kingdom being made known. And that's what we've entered into, and that's what's happening over there. So, for a period of time, you know, and I think Colin, you will be very aware of this as well, because you're also a seer, and those that are seers, there's been certain demonic watchers that have been watching to see what's taking place. And now as they watch, they are terrified, because they realize, we believe, that Christ is the King of Kings, and He's here to advance His kingdom, and we are partnering with Him to advance His kingdom. And so it's a whole different reality now when it comes to the spiritual realm, the demonic realm, the kingdom of God. And so I'm sharing these things so that you can be aware of things that might take place, and you encounter things and you say, but why? It's simply because the kingdom of God, He's inviting us to be involved in participating in making His kingdom a reality here on earth. Jesus is invading the cities. He is now occupying. So it's a time of occupying and letting the kingdom of God become very real. So as God spoke to Joshua from the leaders of Israel, and they said to Joshua, be bold, be courageous. And we need to now encourage one another to be bold and courageous. So when the opportunity comes and God is showing you, the Holy Spirit needs to bring a power over there, we need to not fear. We need to not run away and make excuses. We need to be bold and courageous and go and see the kingdom of God manifest. So that's the reality we are now. So you have to get rid of fear. We've got to get rid of excuses. And all that there, why we can't do these things. No. Christ is with us. He's with us. We're not alone. When He gave the Great Commission, He said, go and make disciples of all nations. I'm with you to the very end. See, so we've got to know the reality that our Lord Jesus is with us. And He's the King. And by the Holy Spirit, whatever power encounter that needs to take place, must take place. And we just need to have that simple childlike faith. And go for it. So enjoy the journey of faith as we get out of our comfort zones and our excuses, and we now understand the season we're in and to partner with God in the season. So in Matthew chapter 12, and we see there when Jesus is being challenged by the religious people because of the kingdom. And let me just read a few scriptures over there. They are accusing Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And they're saying, then verse 25, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And this is why when we speak about the kingdom of God, you cannot separate Holy Spirit. because the Holy Spirit is the power of God that makes the kingdom of God a reality in people's lives. So this is a time we've entered into where, as Jesus, as he's ministering, it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the finger of God that we're speaking about. And that is why when God spoke to us concerning what his purpose is, what he's doing, and he said, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So this is the time of us now really having fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and going with the confidence of, as we go in the name of Jesus, and as we know, as the Holy Spirit leads us, we can go knowing that the Holy Spirit is the power of God manifesting the kingdom. And you may want to try this at your homes. You might want to go, and you might want to go into your homes, and instead of running away and hiding, you might want to go and just proclaim, because God says the kingdom of God is here. You might want to just say these three words: the kingdom of God is here in the name of Jesus. See, start to proclaim. See, start to speak what we now believe, because this is a season of entering in the manifestation of the kingdom to manifest. So what we believe, we must speak. And that is why you'll find very, very often now when we pray, we declare the kingdom of God is here. And when we declare the kingdom of God is here, guess what happens? You see, the Holy Spirit starts to manifest the kingdom, and now there will become revelation this morning. Now there will be things that will be dealt with in our lives because the Holy Spirit is working. I believe Christ the King is here, and his way, his rule, his reign, everything, what he wants to do will happen in our lives. Okay, so that's what we are busy with at the moment. Now, in Romans chapter 14, I'm going to read quite a few scriptures this morning because I want to get to John 17. That's the invitation for us. In Romans chapter 14, when we've gone through this quite a lot, but just to give us an understanding of the fruit of the signs, of the symptoms, of the evidence of the kingdom of God, despite the demons running away, etc., and the healings taking place. Here we see in John 14, verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men." So we know we're dealing with a nation. We've been praying for the nation. And we know, as we pray for our communities, we pray for our families, we pray, etc., we know now the kingdom of God is here. We know that the evidence is righteousness. How are we going to be fighting unrighteousness? It's the kingdom of God must invade. Not another law. It's the kingdom of God. It's got to touch the hearts of people. This is how a community, our families start to change because of the kingdom of God. Peace. It's an evidence of God's kingdom manifesting. There will be peace and there will be joy in the Holy Spirit where the kingdom of God is. So this is part of the reality. Now, put this in our family context. Righteousness, peace, and joy. When we start to say, your kingdom in this house, your kingdom has come. And we start to proclaim what we believe. We start to see the Holy Spirit at work. You might find tremendous resistance at first because of the religious spirits and all those demonic forces that have captured the families. But listen, see, we've got to believe, and this is important. Our excuses are reasons that we come up with. Somehow we are putting it at a greater authority than the throne room of grace to help us in our time of need. So we are saying, with all our excuses, we are saying that God's grace is too weak to deal with my problems. That's what we are saying. See, that's anything that's not of faith is sin. That's sin. So when we are making excuses about our issues and about our past, and this is me and this is blah, 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 we are saying, God, your grace is not sufficient. We want to contradict you. Hey, imagine that. That's what we're saying. We're saying, God, you're a liar. My problem is greater than your grace. Doesn't sound too good, but that's the reality. You see, it doesn't sound too good, but that's the practice. That's the lifestyle. So now when we are now gone into this place of this incredible realm, God, your kingdom is here. We have to start to get into agreement with truth. God, your grace is all sufficient. You see, there's nothing. Your grace is all sufficient. My issue, whether it's addictions or whether it may be, I cannot blame anymore. I cannot make excuses, because every excuse is saying your grace is not sufficient to help me in my time of need. We need to come to the throne room of God's grace and say, God, this is an invitation and we need help now. And God says we will receive the help that we need and His mercy. So when we pray for families, when we pray for a nation, it's not God, oh, look at the problem. God, your grace is sufficient. See, what your Son Christ has done in His death and resurrection is sufficient. He said it is finished. And we receive, because the gospel is the power of God for salvation. And we live in that with confidence, with boldness. It's a season we've entered into. The kingdom of God. God's invading the city. It's occupying now. Time to occupy. Okay, and so we see the evidence. Let's quickly go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. That's powerful. What did Jesus say? When I'm driving out demons amongst you, it's the power of God, the finger of Holy Spirit. See, the kingdom of God, Holy Spirit, power, and truth encounter cannot be separated. So now, as we're moving into the season that we've stepped into of the kingdom of God becoming a reality, manifesting, is no longer just going to be talking. In other words, it's not going to be, now God heals. Now it's going to be, God heals, come. You believe, come and have a power encounter and be healed. See, it's that kind of boldness, it's that kind of faith when we believe what Christ has done in His death and resurrection. So that's part of the evidence of the kingdom of God in a community. That's part of the reality, is to see the power of God and not just speaking. So we believe that Sunday services and all the times, opportunities to talk, it won't just be talk, it's demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power in some way or the other of a truth encounter. Let's go to another scripture quickly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And here Paul is writing about the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of the dead. And verse 24, we read over here, he's speaking, oh, let me go verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now when he says that everything has been put under his feet, it's clear that it does not include God himself, and it carries on. So here we see an amazing truth where Jesus in Matthew 6 teaches us in verse 8, 9 and 10, the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. He carries on in Matthew 6, 33 and he says, But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things shall be added unto you. And now he comes and he says, but now he must reign until you are on earth, until he can come and present the kingdom of the earth, the kingdom back to the Father. And now all of a sudden we see an amazing truth here. Let me read it again. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. So as it is in heaven, it's a reality, but now it's working out. You and I have been invited to partner, to be one with our Lord Jesus, to see the Father's kingdom become a reality on earth. And as he does that, the time will come when our Lord Jesus returns, and he then hands it all back to the Father. So we're involved with this incredible inheritance of Jesus, his kingdom. We're involved with that. We're getting to there now. In Revelation chapter 11 verse 5, or 15, sorry, Revelation verse 11 verse 15, and we read there, the seventh angel sounded the trumpet, and there was loud voices in heaven which said, The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. That's profound. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of God. It was Revelation 11 and verse 15. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Do we understand why Jesus says, Let me teach you how to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Do we understand when he says, Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added? Do we understand why God has been speaking to us to be praying for the family of God in the nation? Because the family of God in the nation, I think a high percentage is seeking first the things and not the kingdom. Got it backwards. Goes back to Haggai, where God spoke to them and said, all you're doing now is just looking after your own panel houses. You're not worried about mine. That's why there's poverty. That's why there's all the sickness. That's why all these things are taking place, because it's all about you. And now we're praying for the family of God. So that once again, the family of God, because as we're praying, we are connecting to the reality of God's kingdom. The Holy Spirit is at work in working in the family of God in the nation and bringing about that move of God, so that the family, we as his children, once again will be involved in advancing the kingdom of God, etc. Now, John chapter 17 is where I want to spend a little bit of time as we Let me just focus something here. Earlier this morning, when I'm sitting with the Lord, I'm sitting with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and this verse has been for a while now, in this past week, on my mind and meditating on it. And this morning, when I'm sitting there and just listening, and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is discussing this particular verse, because this is a verse that He wants us to begin to get revelation. I don't have revelation on this yet, but it's a verse that He's wanting us to be able to take hold of, to dig deep into it, to meditate on this, to begin to ask Holy Spirit to open it up to us, so we can begin to live in the truth of this verse. So Jesus is praying here in John 17. Let me just go from verse 6. "And I have revealed you," speaking to His Father, "to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they obeyed your word." Now look at verse 7. "Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words that you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you have sent me." So first of all, we see here where Jesus is sharing something very profound. He's sharing something that the disciples, they now know. They know something that nobody else knows. They know that the Father has sent Jesus Christ. They know that everything that the Father has given to His Son Jesus comes from the Father. And so now they know that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. They are fully persuaded. They've had an encounter. They know. This is no doubt. So they are very, very aware, and they know. But it carries on. And He says over here, and that's why you ask yourself, as we go around, many people say they're Christian, but they do not know through Christ Jesus the Father. They do not know the reality of the Father and the Son Jesus Christ. They don't know what eternal life's all about. Okay. You can hear by the language. But now He carries on. "For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them, they knew with certainty that I came from you." So if we do not accept the teaching of God, if we do not accept the word of God, we never get to know Him. That's pretty deep. Because many Christians are saying, "But I don't really know God." It's simply because they've never received and accepted it and took His word and began to live in His word and let His word dwell within them. So they never know. If you know the truth, it sets us free. And so we've got to understand as we go now, because the kingdom is not about talk. It's about talk and it's the power. So we've got to understand as we go and we share the word of God, you go with a confidence, Holy Spirit, this is how the kingdom is advancing. You're going to be speaking, and they're going to become aware that they know this truth for years, but they've never really received it. It hasn't borne fruit. It's time to be fruit. So you've got to be aware that as you and I speak right from now onwards, there's going to be a deep work of Holy Spirit to once again awaken a truth that they may have hidden away for a long, long time because of whatever reason. It's time to speak with the confidence Holy Spirit's at work, because it's time for the kingdom of God to be made known in our own lives and all around us. So it's an incredible season that we've stepped into, where being a child of God is not just normal citizenship. This is radical. This is as Jesus wants us to be. Remember, we asked some time back when we started on John 17, what has the glorification of our Lord Jesus got to do with us as His body? See, let's carry on. And what does He say over here? "For I gave them the words," verse 8, "I pray for them." I'm not praying for the world. That's why God gave us assignment to pray for the family of God in this nation, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. Now look at verse 10. And this is what the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were discussing this morning. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. This is a depth of oneness that the Father and Son have that is so, so deep, so, so incredible. And Jesus prays for us to become one as He and the Father are one. So there's something about the understanding that all that the Father had given to His Son Jesus, and here in this context, at this very scripture, those disciples belong to Jesus, and all that belongs to Jesus belongs to the Father. A deeper understanding of community of property. There's something here that we need to get into in understanding, because we are in Christ. What does it mean that we, and as Jesus says, and they have brought glory to me. I have been glorified through them. What does the glorification of Jesus in verse 1 and in verse 4 and 5 got to deal with us as His family, His body? What is this oneness with the Father and the Son that is so deep that all that the Father has given to His Son is it belongs to Him, and all that Jesus has belongs to the Father, this incredible oneness? And now through His family, we who belong to the Father, we who belong to Jesus, we bring glory to Jesus, we bring glory to the Father here on earth. Because He's already been glorified, as we've seen there in the first verses of John. But the kingdom of God is about the glory, us bringing glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we are advancing the kingdom of God here on earth now, as we enter into the season to see the kingdom of God, Christ invading, the evidence will be that the Son of God will be glorified. The evidence will be, hallowed be your name, Father. The evidence, the manifestation, then we start to realize, God, your kingdom is starting to really manifest over here. The occupation is taking place in the lives of people, in the hearts of people, in the minds of people, in the words of people. The King is reigning. It's no longer about me. We've died to the old man in Christ. We're this new creation. We've got an incredible inheritance that we are in, and we are part of. Ephesians chapter 1. We won't get there too much. We don't have time for that this morning. So Jesus prays and He says, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. Now when we go to Psalm chapter 2 and verse 8, here we see Jesus is busy praying, or it's a psalm, it's a messianic psalm. And here we see in Psalm chapter 2 and verse 8, where it's about Jesus Christ and the nations moaning and roaring, and they were doing what they wanted to do. But then God says, but wait a minute, I placed my king. Let me read here. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. These are all the people that are trying to rebel against God. I have installed my king, this is referring to Christ, on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. We see in Hebrews chapter 1, this refers to Jesus Christ. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter, and you will dash them to pieces like the property, like pottery. So Jesus asks the Father for his inheritance, the nations. All that belongs to the Father, he has given to his Son, and all that now the Son has received belongs to the Father. Jesus has asked for the nations as his inheritance. And so Jesus calls his disciples and he says, go into all nations and make disciples. It's his inheritance. Do we see our town as part of the inheritance that Jesus received from the Father? See? Now let me finish. Do we see our town as an inheritance from our Father? Do we see when Jesus asked Father, you said ask for the nations, and I'm asking for the nations, and that's why I have my blood, I have redeemed them from all tribes and nations and languages to become a kingdom of and priests to rule and reign here on earth. Do we see our community, the people of our town, as part of the inheritance? Do we see the joy that you and I can start to become so one? What belongs to the Father belongs to his Son, and what belongs to his Son belongs to the Father. Do we see the incredible opportunity and the invitation of Holy Spirit for you and I to be able to realize, but Father, the inheritance of your Son lies before us. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. You see, he's inviting us to partner for this glorious inheritance of his Son. So I asked myself the question, what will his inheritance look like here in 1947? What will his inheritance look like? It'll be full of life. What will his inheritance look like? The peace, the joy, the righteousness. What will his inheritance look like? Here manifesting in 1947, manifesting in the homes. What will his inheritance look like? What has the glorification of Jesus got to do with you and I? We're his family, we're his body. We're his body on earth. And he's called us to be so one with him over here, partnering with him, the Great Commission, to be involved with his inheritance. You know the joy. You know the privilege, the joy. And last Sunday when we looked at that testimony of that missionary, the joy, and she used the word privilege. You know the privilege where you and I have, where we can be so involved to see the Son glorified, to see his inheritance just expanding and becoming so incredible, tangible with his life in this community and the lives of people. You know the privilege that you and I have to be able to come and say, Lord, this is your inheritance. What a joy we can just be part of it and be thanksgiving. So it's a thanksgiving for the privilege of being involved with our Lord Jesus' inheritance, the life of the people all around us. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. It's very real. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is where we are. So I hope you guys are going to say, yes, Lord, we're going into seeing your kingdom manifest in our communities and our families, in the schools, in the workplaces. No hiding away. Just wherever we are, Lord, let your kingdom become manifest. Start to proclaim it in the prayers right now. Take hold of the Lord's Prayer and believe and to pray it, decree it, prophesy it, enter into it. Let us encourage one another to be bold and courageous. We're going to need it. So David's and David, what's the lady's name for David? Davidess? Let's look at the Goliath and say, but God has made covenant with us through his son Jesus. He has already destroyed the works of Satan. He's gone before us. He's destroyed the works of Satan. We can go now in the name of Jesus and advance the kingdom. We will face the resistance just as the Israelites entered into the promised land. Joshua said, speaking what God had spoken to him, kill the king and all the people. Christ has dethroned the powers of darkness. He's with us. So when he said to his disciples, go, I'm with you, he meant it. And that's why in Luke particularly, where they go out and they're busy doing what the kingdom of God is advancing, Jesus was with them, although he had already risen. It's the same today. Amen. Yeah. Good. So Colin, 1947 is becoming real. This morning, one of the intercessors praying for the service and the Isaiah 55, what you're saying, listen to this. And this is part of the prayer this morning. It's really about the Holy Spirit working in lives. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. That's Isaiah 55, verse 1 and through to verse 3. And we really believe that is what God is busy doing, particularly the believers that we are hiding under that bunker. The Holy Spirit is now, he has a way of flooding that bunker with his presence. That people say, I need to respond. Fear is not my future. Because Christ is, he's replaced my future. He is my future. So there's no fear in the future. And that, we've got a war, obviously, but Christ is with us. He is destroyed. But also now to say that in 1 John, he has destroyed the works of the enemy. And he goes on and he says that one of the ways he has destroyed the works of the enemy, he's given us a new nature. So that we as believers, we've got a new nature, the enemy cannot have any hold on us because of the seed in us. And that's powerful. So Father, as we this morning come and we just want to eat together, drink together with you in your presence, celebrating you, Jesus, celebrating life, celebrating your kingdom. And so we make a proclamation this morning and we just decree over 1947, God's kingdom is here. God's kingdom is here. In the name and through Jesus Christ, we decree and declare that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but it's a matter of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not a matter of talk, but it's a matter of power. We declare and decree over you, 1947, that Christ the King in his kingdom is upon us, and the kingdom of God will manifest amongst you. And so the occupation, the invasion of the kingdom of God has come upon you, 1947. The light of God consists of all righteousness, truth, justice, goodness, and we receive and we speak of you, 1947, the incredible light that's in Christ Jesus has come upon you. So Lord, as we eat and drink this morning, what a privilege that we can partake in your inheritance. And our joy and our privilege is to bring you glory as we be involved with sharing, as we be involved with touching people's lives all around. What a joy where we can see your inheritance, the nations, the people all around us getting born again by the Holy Spirit, tasting and coming and drinking and eating true life, true water, true living water, true living bread, and to be satisfied because of eternal life within them. So we pray over the family of God as you've commissioned us to pray over the family of God in our nation. And so the family of God, in Jesus' name, we just pray that the revelation of the oneness of the Father and Son, we will begin to grasp and begin to enter and to live into the reality in a deeper way when our Lord Jesus prayed that we may be one, just as you, Jesus, and the Father is one. So that the world will know and believe, Father, that you have sent your Son Jesus. Just as those disciples believed that all that you have given to your Son comes from you. And we want, as we live, as we testify, as we live as children of God, we want the world to know that the living words that we share of you, Jesus, comes from you, that they may know, Father, that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ. So we thank you for an evangelism that is beyond our programs. We want to thank you for Holy Spirit's ministry that is beyond our little minds and our whatever formulas we may have. Now it's just an outpouring, an invasion, and we receive, Holy Spirit, your mighty work to bring about, as Jesus says, you will convict the world of the unbelief of righteousness and justice. And so we thank you for your ministry, and we embrace it, and we thank you that we can walk with you, keep in step with you, just to be involved with something so precious and profound. Thank you for your grace over us. Jesus, as we partake today, I want to thank you that you are saying to us, be bold and courageous. We want to thank you that in our weakness, Holy Spirit, you are the one intercedes for us and enables us and helps us to grasp truth, and how you are the great encourager, the great helper, the great enabler, the great one who just begins to really just open up and inspire us so that we once again will have our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So what a privilege this morning, at a beginning of something, we can just come together and eat together with you, celebrating the covenant, celebrating what you have done in your death and resurrection, that our faith may be anchored in the reality of what you have done. We will not be moved. And this we receive through you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.